The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Playoff basketball really has been next level this week. And all I know, guys, game six in Atlanta going to be absolutely ridiculous. I can't even imagine who's going to show up in the ATL to watch the Hawks show out. But with that, everybody, welcome to First Take. It's Thursday. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got two very special guys in the house pulling double duty this morning. Alan Hahn, Keyshawn Johnson. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Good. That blue again.
Yeah. Blue.
Match those eyes.
The eyes.
The eyes.
About that. Yes. And you know, usually that's why I'm happy that you're here, Charlie, because normally I'm the one setting him up.
Oh, okay.
But now I'm just going to, you know, quote a great book that I once read, said, you can just give me the damn ball.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Sit back, relax, but don't actually relax because we have a lot to get to. And first thing we're getting to, game five. It was the 76ers to lose. They were up by 26 in the third. Their win probability percentage, 99.7%. But a quick 8-2 run set the tone for the big fourth quarter that followed. In the final quarter, Atlanta outscored Philly 40-19. Now the series heads to Atlanta with the Hawks in the driver's seat following the 109-106 upset over Philly. Here's Doc Rivers after the game.
The mood was down. It was awful. What would you think it would be? It would have to be, right? And so this is part of sports. You know, you have some awful moments in it. There is no guaranteed path to getting to your goal. It's on all of us. It's on me. It's on the players. And we have to figure out how to get back up, which we will, and bring this game back here for game seven.
All right, Han, we're starting with you here. Are you more impressed with the Hawks' win or disappointed in the Sixers' loss?
Disappointed in the Sixers. This series should be over. This series should be over. This series was over, in fact. This series should have been 3-1 going back home, and then you finish the job. You have big leads in the last two games, and you can't close the deal, and you have the better players. You have two All-Stars. But let me not even talk about the All-Stars that you have. Let's talk more about the fact that you've got three guys that are all defensive players, all guys, three defensive players. And all you had to do was play defense, and no one did that. So you've got to learn how to close the deal as a team. How long is the process going to go? Is the process ever going to be about closing? That's the question about the Sixers. But no, I'm disappointed because Philly, the number one seed, this series should be over.
Well, it's not over.
It's not over. It,
no matter what the situation is, yeah, you should be up 3-1, but you're not. You're down. Now Atlanta's going to close it out at home. Trae Young in that crew. Lou Will in that crew. Taking care of business in Philly. Philadelphia, you can give credit to Atlanta. It's okay. Because you had an opportunity to close things out and finish the deal. But guess what you decided to do? You're going to leave, as Stephen A. would say, you're going to leave Ben Simmons in and allow us to foul him on a consistent basis and put him at the free throw line to not convert. You continue to do that. So it's your fault. It's not our fault. We taking care of our business and doing what we're supposed to do. You're fouling us. You're allowing us to get open threes all day long. Lou Williams scored 13 points, I believe, in the fourth quarter. And you allowed that to happen. Instead of
that
playing
goes back to my point about defense or lack
instead
thereof.
Instead of playing the defense to thinking the way that you know how to do it, we force you into doing things. We got the pressure on you. You started to panic. And then eventually, you folded. So now you're going on the road to our home where we got plenty of chicken wings, lemon pepper, mine.
Mm-hmm. Yum.
Yeah. Extra crispy, all flats. And it's going to be rocky in Atlanta.
It will be. And it's to me, again, when you're saying you left, you're talking about Doc Rivers. And you're talking about a head coach that also now in the back of his mind knows that he's been at the helm. And I love Doc. He's been at the helm of some epic meltdowns now in these last 2 years when he's been the coach. That's what we've seen. He's got to learn how to close as a coach. But what is he supposed to do? Is he supposed to take a max player, an all-star, an all-defensive player, a guy who thought he should be defense player of the year? I'm supposed to take you off the floor when I'm trying to protect the lead? You talk about like how he should be, well, why is Ben Simmons still in the game? Because I'm not trying to get offense. I'm not trying to chase a lead. I'm trying to protect one. And I mean, you should know this from football. When you're trying to protect the lead, It's defense that matters the most.
You're not trying to
and they didn't do that.
Because you're not playing defense. You're the coach. And for whatever reason, the situation was that you decide to crack under that pressure and not make the necessary adjustments late in the game for your defensive team, your unit that you rolled out there to stop what we were doing on offense, because we were chipping away. And I'll say we as in Atlanta.
Yep.
Chipping away at it, and then yet and still, you stayed with the same unit on the floor.
But what's he supposed
to do? That's the pressure
that he didn't.
That's the pressure that's applied to you.
Everybody wants to put this on Ben Simmons because of what happened late. Let's not forget, Joel Embiid missed a layup late in game four that cost him that game. Joel Embiid also missed two free throws late in this game as well in game five that cost him.
I think he was 11 for 11 before that at the line, too.
But in clutch, when it matters most.
Yeah, no, of course.
Clutch, what matters most. And then, of course, when Joel Embiid was not on the floor, that's when the lead started going away because Dwight Howard and them guys off the bench weren't getting it done. Doc Rivers has to give Joel Embiid a break. And when he does, they can't just give away leads. And that's what happened.
But you got to know your unit. If you're the head coach, you got to know what unit to put out on the floor. The one thing that you've given us in Atlanta now is hope, Charlie. You've given us the hope that we can finish the deal.
It's true.
Because you've given us this confidence. And that's where they're at.
And that's kind of how they felt the entire way. I mean, you heard Trae Young after the game. He said he never had any doubt that he and his teammates could pull it off. And look what they did. And I will give you just a little stat. The 76ers were 165-0 in the past 25 seasons when leading by at least 25 points at any point in the game. So this puts that streak to an end. And all I have to say on the tail end of this game is on Sunday in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
So you know Magic City going up on a Monday.
Oh.
There you go.
Or Sunday night. Oh,
just get your order
in. Well, it'll technically be Monday.
You know,
once the game's over,
now.
Everyone gets to the club. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody. Once the news broke yesterday about Kawhi being out for game five with a sprained knee, the pressure was on for PG, who knew that he needed to step up with the series tied at two. And that is exactly what he did, delivering a superstar performance with 37 points, a playoff career high, 16 rebounds, and 5 assists in leading the Clippers to a 119-111 win over the Jazz. Ty Lue, what did this performance mean?
That was a big statement. I mean, just all the outside noise, it really doesn't matter. Like, they just try to make up anything, you know. But, man, he's a great player. Like I said, tonight, you know, he carried us.
I've been in Indiana where, you know, I had to lead a franchise, you know. And so the beauty here is I get to do that with one of the best in the world in Kawhi. You know, now Kawhi's down. You know, it was just that mindset being back in Indy, having to, you know, set the tone and come out and lead a ball club. That's really the mindset that I came out with.
Yeah, I had the privilege of covering Paul George when he was with the Pacers for those years. So he does know what it's like to be a leader. But, Key, I propose this to you. Is Paul George enough to lead the Clippers to the finals?
No. The Western Conference Finals, probably so, but not the actual NBA Finals. And here's what I say to that. Yes, he was in Indy, and he did a terrific job in terms of trying to get the Pacers over the hump. But this team is about Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's not there right now. All you got to think is if they get to the Western Conference Final, Monte Williams is not about to allow Paul George to put up 37 points. He's not going to do that. He's going to make everybody else around them try and do their job. That's what's going to happen. You know, Jackson's got to step up to the plate. He's got to play a certain way. Patrick Beverley's got to play a certain way. So when you start to think about it, Paul George is not enough to win an NBA title, let alone get him to the finals. Phoenix is a really good basketball team right now. I'm assuming that Chris Paul plays in those games. I'm not assuming that Chris Paul, based on the protocols that's happening with him right now, that he won't be there. I think he'll be there, but I don't think that he is at all enough to get it done.
I think, yes, because I think confidence, it comes from demonstrated performance. And what he just demonstrated for you is he can win them a game without Kawhi Leonard. He can carry the team like
that's
we remember him
game.
In Indiana doing.
One game. Yeah.
And it's one game, but it's demonstrated performance. Now I know I can because it's no longer pandemic P. It's playoff P. It's a guy that I think had to almost show himself that he could still do it at that level, and he did against a really good defensive team in the Jazz. That's a really good defensive team. That's a very well-coached team, and they had no answers for him, and he was making some big shots. You do mention the supporting cast. What star doesn't need a supporting cast to help him get somewhere? Marcus Morris had a big game as well, and you mentioned Reggie Jackson. he's going to need to step up. There's no doubt about it in a series against the Suns that we don't know when Chris Paul is going to be available to them. We have no idea.
Well, I'm assuming, maybe later. I'm assuming sure. Chris Paul okay. is going to be there. You said one game. Yeah. Can he do it on a consistent basis? He hasn't shown us throughout his career, even in Indy, when they got into the playoffs, that he could do it on a consistent night in and night out.
Well, this is his third consecutive game with 30 points. That is the longest in his career, so he is building on that right now.
Yeah, it is. It's like I said, it is what he needed was that game. What he needed was last night, and I feel like that could help propel him because of the question marks about Chris Paul, because of the guard play and the toughness of the guard play that the Clippers do have, and the fact that when you look at the landscape, there's not a lot left. If you think about all the injuries that are going on around playoffs right now, he's one of the best players left standing that is healthy. Knock on wood, of course. So can he do it? I think he can. Will he? Well, that's a reason
to be seen. Well, I think when you run into Phoenix, you're running into Booker, DeAndre Ayton. Is there an answer? So let's remove Chris Paul from the equation for a few games.
Paul George does play defense, so he would be guarding one of those top guys.
But do you have an answer for Ayton if he's guarding Booker? Do you have an answer for Booker if they decide to move him on Ayton? You got to think they don't have enough. And I don't think Patrick Beverley would be the answer on Booker. So, and then if Chris Paul is there, now you're really in trouble. Mm-hmm. And I just don't believe that 37 points is going to get it done because those other guys that you mentioned, Marcus Moore, Reggie Jackson, are they going to come on a consistent basis and give you what they gave you against Utah?
They have to. And this time of year, it starts ratcheting up. You know this.
But it's not about they have to. You do whatever it takes. Are they going to, though? That's the question. Are they going to?
Well, the question was, is Paul George enough to lead them to the finals? That means get past the Suns. Mm-hmm. My answer is yes. He can. Now, will he? Of course, if I knew that answer, I wouldn't be here. I'd be in Vegas.
Okay, well, let's not even look that far ahead. What would it mean for the Clippers franchise? I mean, in the past, when they've been in the position, right now they're one win away from reaching the conference finals. In the past, being in this position, they've been 0-8. What would it mean for this franchise to even get to the conference finals with Paul George at the helm?
It would mean for them that at least because they went all in on these two stars, they're getting Kawhi, then Kawhi said, I want Paul George, and Steve Ballmer went all in, whatever we need, whatever we've got to do, traded away a lot of good young pieces, a lot of assets as well that Oklahoma City has or had for the most part. It's for them, it starts to pay off that kind of a investment in this team. It's great for them. Does it take the franchise closer to the Lakers?
No, don't even start that.
Is it L.A. guy? Of course not.
No, not even close.
Of course not.
Nowhere near.
But they've never been this far before. They've never gotten just to the conference. But I've never done this before.
I mean, if that's a birthday, deserves a birthday cake because you make it to the finals, great.
For them, it might.
Yeah, I mean, it
look, you got to start somewhere.
They're building a new stadium in Inglewood, mind you, on one of the closest sites to the Great Western Forum. So They're still trying to hover around the Laker presence. They're already renting in the building.
No matter where you go in L.A., there's a Laker presence. So there's nothing you can do about it.
It's like, okay, it's good. It's not going to be a situation where all of a sudden things flip to the Clippers. It's good that they've never been there, and they've advanced further if they get there than they've ever been before.
Well, who cares? Great. Who cares? Why do they have to eclipse the Lakers? What they need to do is be successful. Just be successful. The Mets have never eclipsed the Yankees in New York. Never. But they've won world championships. And in doing so, their fan base continued to grow to a point where they are established.
Not happening in Los Angeles, but
no, never?
Never.
Okay, so, Key, because you're the pertinent here as it pertains to this subject, what will it mean for Kawhi's future if they don't make it to the conference finals?
Well,
LA, that is.
Well, first of all, Charlie, he needs to get back healthy. So we don't even know where the injury really truly is. Mm-hmm. We just know that he has some knee issues going on until we actually get the final diagnosis on what that is. I think if they make it there, then there's an opportunity, a chance for him to stay. If they don't make it, he's got to scratch his head to figure out, I put this thing together, along with Paul George, that made a decision at the end of the season that they were not happy with Doc Rivers, and for whatever reason, they made us think about it. Doc Rivers eventually gone. He's now in Philly. That's a lot to think about, you know. And so do I abandon what I put together to go chase something else, or do I finish the deal in Los Angeles?
You went Scarface. Who put this together? Me. I did. But that's legit what went on there. Steve Ballmer basically gave him the keys. What do you want? What do you need? Including the coach. made a change with the coach. And so for Kawhi, it is on you. And you can't leave it behind, and especially off of an injury. You know, it would say a lot about him, and I wonder how his reputation would be now around the league if he did, you know, bail on this franchise.
I don't see it happening. I don't think he's worried about his reputation, and I don't know that. I think in today's NBA, as we know, players move around. That's just what they do. You know, you can see Kevin Durant leaves Golden State, comes to Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. LeBron leaves Miami, goes back to Cleveland, and bolts Cleveland for L.A. That's just what guys do in today's NBA. I mean, think about Jimmy Butler. What was he? Minnesota, Chicago, Minnesota.
He was traded.
Philadelphia.
He was traded.
But I'm saying he still was on different teams. Now he's in Miami. So guys move around.
So it will just depend on what opportunities are available.
There's no better opportunity than where he is.
Yeah, there's no great. Yeah. He has a locker room
right around the corner.
He gets whatever he wants. He'll have whatever he wants there. Steve Ballmer is no dummy. He will, whatever you need, whatever you want, I will get it for you. He certainly can pay for it. They are working on the arena, as you said, get their own identity close to home for him. There is no other opportunity for him to go to. Wherever else he goes, he's a visitor. There, that's actually home because that's his franchise. I don't think he's ever had that where it's his franchise. Remember, he was traded to Toronto. He didn't really want to go there. He went there and won a championship, didn't stay long. San Antonio never felt like his. Pop was the big presence. The guys before him, Tim Duncan, all them, Tony Parker, that's their franchise. This is the first time where I do think that as he sets roots, this becomes his franchise. And if he can win a title there, that's probably the biggest title he could win.
What good is a franchise if you don't have a title? If you can't get a title?
Well, that's the next thing. Get there.
But I don't think, and the reason I bring this up is, it's going to be more difficult moving forward to get a title because the Golden State Warriors are going to get healthy again. Klay Thompson is in the building. Rich Paul and that group in L.A., in Clutch, whoever's
running
the Lakers.
Lakers.
They're going to go out and retool no matter what Rob Pelinka says. The Denver Nuggets are going to get better when Murray comes back. Utah's only going to get better. Phoenix, DeAndre Ayton is ascending on the right target for his career. No, you don't hear people say, oh, that was a bad pick for Phoenix. They should trade him. You don't hear that. What you hear is he's starting to show something. So when you start to look out west, the west is only going to get better. What's going to happen with Dame Lillard out in Portland?
But why are you talking like the Clippers are a bunch of bums and they're lucky to get this far? That's a team that has two legitimate superstars.
You have to just look at the past, and that probably
the Clippers
helps
have always
create your
been
mindset
the
now.
The Clippers have always been the Clippers,
no matter how much money
they spent. I remember when the Clippers were really Clippers, which meant they were one of the worst franchise and worst run franchise in the league. You can't say that about them.
No, they're a great franchise now, but they're still the Clippers.
Such a Laker.
I'm just telling you the truth. It's not about the Lakers. It's about the Clippers. And they're the Clippers.
But yeah, it comes back to the Lakers.
Before we move on, is the West getting tougher next year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is. But it's getting tougher for teams that are getting older, not for teams that are in their prime.
And the Clippers aren't going to be a year older?
In their prime.
Kawhi's coming off an ACL.
All right, I'll leave you this caveat. The Kawhi injury, we don't know the extent.
Yes, we don't.
If it's severe.
Yes.
Yeah, that could be a major issue because of how much time he'll miss. We already know he load manages as it is, and it's still not working. So that's where the caveat comes in. If this is a major injury that keeps him out for a long period of time, that costs him more time in his career.
And even if he comes back healthy, he's getting older.
Still.
He's getting older,
you still have
huh?
Two guys oh, at the come top on. 15 players.
He's getting older. And then the other teams are getting younger.
This is a guy, Charlie, who's rooting for a team whose player calls himself Washed King, who's only getting older. Only getting older. And you're talking about Kawhi getting older.
How
about your guy?
He doesn't like the Clippers, you can already tell. I hope Steve Ballmer is not watching this
segment. He doesn't like LeBron.
Because the man is hype right now. You see him on the sidelines right now. The man is hype. He's throwing bows. He's all over the place.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at lq.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Monday's going to be fun. Injuries, though, have been a huge part of these playoffs. Anthony Davis injuring his groin back in game four of the Lakers' first-round series against the Suns, which caused him to miss game five and limited him to just over 5 minutes in game six. James Harden and Kyrie Irving have both missed time in the Nets series against the Bucks. Harden has returned. Kyrie remains out for tonight's game six. And then yesterday, we unfortunately found out that Kawhi Leonard would miss Game 5 against the Jazz with a right knee sprain, and the Clippers said there is no timetable for his return. Now, as the injuries continue to pile up around the league, hindering several of the major stars in the playoffs, LeBron James went off on social media yesterday with a big "I told you so" rant for the NBA. Here's what he said. "They all didn't want to listen to me about the start of the season. I knew exactly what would happen. I only wanted to protect the well-being of the players, which ultimately is the product and benefit of our game. These injuries just isn't, quote, part of the game. It's the lack of pure rim rest, rest before starting back up. 8, possibly 9 All-Stars have missed playoff games, most in league history. This is the best time of the year for our league, and our fans are missing a ton of our favorite players. It's insane. If there's one person that know about the body and how it works all year round, it's me. I speak for the health of all our players, and I hate to see this many injuries this time of year. Sorry, fans. Wish you guys were seeing all your favorite guys right now." Okay, he had a lot to say, but Han, he does make a point. Did the NBA do a disservice to the players by starting them too soon and having that shortened offseason?
No, of course they didn't. Why? Because the union, which LeBron and all the players are a member of, were complicit. They agreed. They signed off on it. It's assumed liability. This is what you knew was going to happen, that it was going to be a short off season. You also had from March until July off as well. Let's not forget about that. Now, some of these injuries we're talking about, yeah, I don't know. Some of them you could say, are they conditioning injuries or are they just part of playing basketball? Are they bodies breaking down? I don't know. But I want to know who LeBron was talking to when he said that "I told that nobody wanted to listen to me about this." Kawhi Leonard, his injury. The guy load manages all year. People criticize him for getting rest that he needs to get, that he feels he needs to keep himself at optimum levels. Did that work, the rest? So how much do we really want to blame this on them? It's just starting the season when they wanted to start, meaning the players first pushed the idea of starting the season around Martin Luther King Day, which would have been a great day to have the first game of the season in a normal circumstance. But for the league, that would have cost, and the players, it would have cost millions to push it up another month. So it doesn't make sense. So as I go back to it, I say it again, Key, the players assume this liability by agreeing to start when they started. Did they have an option? Probably not, because the clock was ticking, as we know. But you did have, I mean, four teams got conference finals that got into October, had the short off season. But most of the rest of the league did not. Well, I feel like this is excuse making.
Here we go.
No, I don't think it's excuse making, and I do agree with LeBron that the league probably could have pushed things off. You say they didn't have a choice. That may be true.
Were you willing to give up millions? Millions.
Maybe they didn't have a choice, but you negotiate out of that. The league wouldn't allow them to do so because of the television rights. TV wanted to start when they wanted to start to make the money.
And if not, what was the cost? What was the cost?
The players need to rest. They need to rest up. Yeah, you talk about only the teams in the bubble that made deep playoff runs, and the teams that were not in the bubble or the ones that exit the bubble extremely early, they may have not needed the rest. But marquee teams like the Lakers, they needed that rest. Yes, LeBron James, older, wanted more rest. Because if LeBron decides to load manage, guess what? People go crazy. Oh, load manage. Look, my kids paid. I paid to come see him play. He's not playing. People go nuts. If he has the time to rest up, maybe he plays in some of those games. Kawhi Leonard plays in some of those games. Teams and players like that, but it didn't happen. So now you're looking at certain injuries, and some of the injuries, you say, okay, they're not all soft tissue. But if their legs are tired because they didn't get enough rest, therefore, their ability to do certain things and get out of the way at certain times may not be there because they're forced to continue to play. Kawhi is an example of somebody bumping knee. Okay, a Kyrie, a twisted ankle. But what about the hamstring injuries, the soft tissue injuries, things of that nature that went on throughout the course of the season that forced players to miss time?
James Harden's hamstring injury.
Well, what about that?
Do you think that was a result of conditioning?
What could
be? That was a result of lack of rest?
It could be.
Or lack of something else?
It could be. We don't know.
The guy was getting his jersey retired in a club instead of getting ready for the Rockets.
He looked one way in Houston and another way with the Nets.
He did, didn't he?
As he rested up.
I mean, he took off the fat suit once he showed up. I don't know if the Brooklyn Nets uniform is slimming. It might be. I don't know.
It's black. Of course it is.
Maybe black is slimming, but he looked a lot different once he got to Brooklyn. But still, it was pretty well known in Houston when he showed up for camp and when he showed up actually to play. He didn't really show up for camp. When he showed up, he wasn't in shape. He had to play himself into shape. And you got to know this. You can't play yourself into shape at that level. It's going to cause injuries. So, yeah, you know, if you want to. And how about LeBron, your guy? I mean, LeBron James's injury was a freak accident.
Well, yeah, because of injuries, that one
was an awkward hustle play that somebody rolled up on him. That wasn't a conditioning injury.
That one there,
he was playing at the highest level. He was an MVP candidate when he got hurt.
There's an AD injury on the groin. He came down.
You're giving me Anthony Davis.
He came down.
I mean, I don't have enough pages here of his injury history, and you're going to give me Anthony Davis as an example?
I'll give you Anthony Davis because it was a groin injury. It wasn't a knee. It wasn't an ankle. It was a groin injury.
It's all connected. You can't give me Anthony Davis as an example.
Why?
If LeBron broke down, there's a guy that never breaks down. His best ability
McCullough
is his durability.
McCullough missed time during the season. You're going to have, if you're not resting up properly, you're going to have certain injuries that will come. There's no question about it. Science says it. They need proper time off.
Yes.
There's no question. And I think the NBA should push the season back again and move it into maybe November.
Okay, so you ready to put more money into escrow?
So is that the solution you would come up with, what they need to do for the upcoming season?
Yes.
When?
I think.
When? How are you getting 82 games in?
I think November.
Is it just a continuous cycle of pushing back because
at what point
does it stabilize again?
I think you find a permanent solution, which is pushing it back maybe to the end of November. So you're not running up. Your meat of your season is not running up against the NBA. I mean, against the NFL also. You're starting, but you're not running up against it because the NFL will be ending.
What about reducing the number of games for one season? I don't know. Would that be an option?
Well, again, they just did that. 72 games.
Yeah, they did.
That's 10 fewer. That's 10 games. That's a lot of money. And as we've mentioned, you did mention it, the broadcast partners, they have a say in this because they expect to play on certain dates, an opening night in October that we've already set up as an opening night. Christmas Day, a huge day for both of the national networks.
But you can still get in Christmas Day because the day ain't changing. You can start in November and still get in Christmas Day.
Well, what I meant by Christmas, though.
Maybe that's a solution. We change the holiday schedule.
Right, that's it.
Move for the NBA.
But that's what I was mentioning, though, is from this year, why they needed to have it in December was Christmas Day was a very important day. It's like sort of like that's the real start of the NBA season. As you know, you mentioned it. The NFL does dominate in the fall. You also in October are going up against baseball playoffs, World Series. You're dealing with that. So you are contending with others. But once you get to December, you're not contending with anybody other than NFL playoffs, which is just the weekend.
And that's why you roll it into late December. Late November.
But how do you
roll it into?
Now, there are some owners, including some of the owners in Atlanta, that actually were pushing that idea of starting the season around, like making Christmas Day the start of the season and pushing it all up like we're seeing now. Take your finals into July. And they just feel like, again, the Olympics are a big part of this as well. That just doesn't fit their schedule. It's better to go back to the original plan of October and then have the playoffs end or have the finals end in late June, have your free agency in July, and everybody takes off August and September. That's what they want to get back to. The point is if you're trying to buy some more time for the players based on this year, I mean, you're giving up. How do you squeeze 82 games into a one less month of a season? Now you're talking about rest, back-to-back, back-to-back-to-backs. You're going to have all that stuff if you're trying to keep that schedule.
I don't think the back-to-backs is that big of a deal if they get the rest. I don't think the back-to-backs.
You'd rather give up the extra month than give up and take more back-to-backs
than have fewer back-to-backs and not have the extra month off. And remember, the extra month off is for basically four or two teams. Out of 30, the needs of the few outweigh the needs of the many?
I think so when you're talking about the superstar players. Absolutely.
This year we might not have superstars in the
finals. What is the league built on? They built
on the stars,
on the superstar players.
It is true.
So if I got to protect my superstar players to protect the league, that's what you do.
That's a conversation you have to have with your union then, because, again, once you signed off on it,
have a conversation.
Once you voted,
okay, well, you don't sign off on it if they put it in front of you and it makes sense at the time that you sign it.
This was an argument among the players. The players had this argument, and it was the star players that were pushing the idea of pushing the season, and the other players said, I'm not giving up any more money. I don't want to see my salary go into escrow. You guys with your $45 million a year contracts, you can afford that. I can't when I'm on a veteran's minimum, and that's why they lost that vote.
Well, in fact, the matter is a lot of the superstars aren't even playing ball right now because they're out injured. So yes. Will that affect how you look back on these playoffs?
No, not really, because it's somewhat a changing of the guard to a degree anyway. You're starting to get these younger players starting to put their stamp on the NBA, the Trae Youngs of the world. You know.
So you think it's a good thing in a certain way?
If LeBron James and Steph Curry are not playing in the finals, it's going to look different anyway, because we've been used to that for so long. And now all of a sudden, we got a KD who is by far the best player in the NBA in the world right now. Or you have a Joel Embiid who needs to just stay healthy, who's one of the best players in the world right now. Donovan Mitchell is one of the young players in the world right now that is really good. So when you start to look at some of those young, that young talent, they're coming. They're not there yet, but eventually they will be a Devin Booker. That it'll be about Devin Booker 3, 4, 5 years from now. It'll be about those young players. It won't be about LeBron James anymore.
Yeah, I think it does hurt the league because the diehard basketball fans will always tune in. It's the other fans that usually parachute in around this time to see the stars play. You turn on ABC, you see the finals, you want to see Steph Curry, LeBron, you want to see guys you know.
Names, but I want to see Chris
names.
Paul.
But you,
I want to see Chris Paul.
You're right.
And
maybe you
and
will.
I want to see Devin Booker and Kevin Durant. I want to see that. I want to see Trae Young. I will watch Trae Young for my money. Yeah. I have no problem watching Trae Young.
You will watch it once you know that there's a reason to watch. And I'm not saying it because you understand sports. You're at that level. I'm talking about casual fans.
And I think the casual fan. I think the casual fan would want to see a guy that has so much, it mimics Steph Curry so much. If you get a chance to see him play, you're like, okay. Yeah.
That's the key phrase.
I want to see.
You get the chance to see him. You've got to be drawn in, and there needs to be some epic performances like what KD did the other night. Now, you already knew who KD was, but him having that signature performance certainly helps and makes the league and everybody else want to say, the Nets need to keep going here.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because you mentioned a couple of these players that really are making names for themselves these days, you know, Donovan Mitchell, Joel Embiid, more so because they have a chance to. You know, they're beating out some of these other teams.
Yes.
But they're also dealing with some injuries themselves.
Yeah.
You know, so Donovan Mitchell clutching his knee last night. Joel Embiid obviously having some knee problems. You know, KD obviously has already been established. He's having injury problems of his own. So it's really all the way across the board. And actually, according to Elias Sports Bureau, Kawhi Leonard will be the 8th different All-Star to miss a playoff game this year. That's the most in league history. So this is an unprecedented season.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, our most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings awaits you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. I'm Molly Karam, and I hope you have a fabulous day. Thanks for listening to the pod.
All right, now in the wake of the standoff between Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, where he has spent his entire 16-year career, an ex-NFL general manager has thrown some shade at the reigning MVP, saying, quote, according to Matt Lombardo, a fan cited, he said, quote, the guy's selfish, teammates don't like him, coaches don't like him. It's all about Aaron. They all deal with him because he's a superstar. He helps guys make money and put food on the table for their kids, and people respect him for that. All right, he said a lot there. Now, Booger McFarland here with us for this debate. Key, let's start with you here. This ex-GM, he had a lot to say. What's one word to describe these comments?
Planted. It's a planted story by somebody. And look, Boog know, having played in the NFL and been in locker rooms, everybody's not going to like you. There's 70 guys, including practice squad guys, that are in the locker room. So somebody's not going to like Aaron Rodgers, because Aaron Rodgers flies private, or Aaron Rodgers doesn't really speak to him, or Aaron Rodgers has a girlfriend that's a famous girl. Or it's going to always be the case. And it's always a locker room lawyer type that is a coach's pet that's going to say something, somebody who runs to the media. That's just the way it is. But I promise you, more people inside that damn locker room like Aaron Rodgers more than the guy who planted the story. Promise you that.
Okay, Han.
Well, the one word that I would use to describe is incendiary. This is stage three of the smear campaign. Remember how it began. It began with basically how, well, we're not idiots. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because of how you're fat-handing this whole situation. Mark Murphy has a column on Packers.com, and we found that out. Why? Why not? Talk to the fans. Okay, great. Have a question that has nothing to do with Aaron Rodgers. Turn it into an answer about Aaron Rodgers and how he's dividing the fan base. See the stages continuing to build. Let's get that campaign going. Then it becomes how he's a complicated fella. Let's bring back a quote from the late Ted Thompson. Let's bring that into the conversation too. Complicated fella. Let's laugh about it, chuckle about it, go there. And now the next stage is now we plant. We get somebody in there that puts it out there without putting a name on it to ratchet it up a little bit. Incendiary. To light the flame, to turn it on. And that's exactly what this happened. Coaches and teammates don't like you, that you're selfish. Sounds like they're calling Aaron Rodgers a diva. Well, he's a quarterback. Of course he is.
Booger?
I love it. Leave it to Alan Hahn to come up with these very difficult words for America to follow this morning. I'm just going to call it what it is and call it irrelevant because nobody really cares. Mm-hmm. Understand this. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. He's the quarterback of America's team up in that part of the country, the Green Bay Packers. And right now, if the Green Bay Packers want to win next year and want to win at a high level, Aaron Rodgers needs to be the quarterback. I don't care who likes me in the locker room. I don't care whether you like what I do. I don't care whether you like what I eat. The bottom line, when Aaron Rodgers steps behind center, as Stephen A. would say, he is a bad man. Mm-hmm. And when you're that bad of a man, you don't have to like me, but you got to respect me because I'm one of the best doing it at my craft. And so, you know, the locker room is a fickle place. Any day of the week, anybody could like anybody. The bottom line is you got to respect everybody in there because they're one of the best in America at doing a certain job. And I think the Packers, the Green Bay Packers organization, even someone like Mark Murphy and Brian Gutekunst, who are at odds with Aaron Rodgers, they respect what he does. So I'm going to call it what it is and just say irrelevant. Nobody really cares. We all know what kind of talent Aaron Rodgers is. And come on, Alan Hahn, come on. Hey, come on, man. Come up with something a little bit simpler for America to follow. Keyshawn said planted. I went with irrelevant. You went with incendiary, whatever the word is. Give America something easy to follow on a Thursday morning.
Look, I think
flamethrower.
I think, Boog, you know, again, you've been in the locker room, so you kind of know exactly what happens. Everybody doesn't like you. I've been on a number of teams. People didn't like me. Okay, so what? But I guarantee you they respected my ability and they respected who I was as a human being. They can go behind closed doors and have issue with their little friends and talk in their corner or go to restaurants and have conversations with fans, but I promise you the respect level, it was there. And the respect level was there for Aaron Rodgers. They certainly know they're a better team with Aaron Rodgers than without Aaron Rodgers. They seen the team with Kaiser, Deshaun Kaiser at quarterback, or Brett Hundley at quarterback. They see what practice looked like right now with Jordan Love, as well as Blake Bortles. So don't, like Booker say, it's not that big of a deal. It's just a planted story to get everybody riled up. So when Aaron Rodgers finally says, in about a month, month and a half, I am done with the Green Bay Packers, move me, rather than with a third party saying it, everybody will say, okay.
Okay, that's a solid point. So where do you believe that Rodgers will be taking his first snap in the upcoming season?
Ooh, now that's another question.
It is.
Woo!
Oh, say it.
I would think it would be the Denver Broncos. Mm-hmm. I think it's the Denver Broncos. I think the Denver Broncos are going to make a serious play to get Aaron Rodgers. Now, whether or not Green Bay decides to do it or they make a decision to try to be, you know, petty and hold on to him, much like Cincinnati did with Carson Palmer. Maybe they do that. Maybe they try and take some of the money back, which I don't think will be that big of a deal with Aaron Rodgers if he sits out and they want the money back because he'll eventually get it from the next team. He'll play in the NFL again. It just will not be with the Green Bay Packers.
Look, I got a question for you. I want to know, because as I said, this is like a building a campaign. Key loves when I'm the reporter. I'm going to be the reporter. Go back in my days. When I had the ink stained, yes, you know, wretches all around me in my notepad, because this
you look like a reporter right now too. By the way, FYI,
did I need that? I didn't need that. Okay, thank you though. But I this is manna from heaven because it's mini camp. Like, you know, nobody. What are we covering? We're covering, you know, guys in shorts and whether or not somebody's thrown into the garbage can. But this is a story that allows me to be on the back page. Why? Because people care about it. Now, the planted story was, oh, coaches don't like them, players don't like them, but they just put up with them. Guess where I'm going next, Boog? Where am I going next now that this story came out? I'm in the locker room now. Now I'm asking you guys. Oh, wait, this story says you guys don't like them. I need some of the Packers players. We've had a couple. Devontae came out, right? Bakhtiari came out. But not a lot of guys spoke about it. I want to know, when did the players start putting the fire out? As I said, incendiary. When did they start putting the fire out about Aaron Rodgers?
Well, I think the next time we talk to some of the players is going to be training camp. And then what will happen is the media will want to see, do the players get agitated? Do the players get bothered by having to answer so many questions? Do they become annoyed? And to Key's point, Key, I'm glad you brought this up. Listen, Keyshawn was a California guy, was in New York, came to Tampa. Yes. Key is right. A lot of people in Tampa didn't like Key when he got there because they thought he was Hollywood. But you know what Keyshawn did? When you threw him the ball, Keyshawn caught the ball. He was dependable. He was a big play guy. Now, we didn't like some of the unnecessary stuff, showing up to practice with the Rolls Royce, Hollywood. Like, we didn't like, as soon as Keyshawn got to town, within the first month, Keyshawn not only was a diva, he had opened a restaurant. We're like, who the hell is this guy coming from New York trying to take over Tampa? But you know what he did? On the football field, he produced, and that's all that mattered in the locker room. So, Key, you're right. You're a living proof. You're living proof that you can go to an organization and not be liked, but as long as you produce, people will respect you, and that's the ultimate thing in the NFL locker room, respect.
Okay, well, if I'm one of these players getting asked a question by Juhan in the locker room, I'm probably going to be answering in a positive manner as it pertains to Rodgers, because I would much rather be playing with Rodgers than Jordan Love, because, look, yeah, everyone wants to win a championship. Aaron Rodgers is your best bet as far as that
goes.
Hey,
Boog, it was a Bentley, not a Rolls. Know your cars, man.
Come on now.
Hey, listen, that was the first car. I'm talking about the second car.
A whole garage full of them.